The time is 1900 hours here in New York City, and you're listening to WBAI New York. Time once again for Off the Hook.
The telephone keeps ringing, so I ripped it off the wall. I cut myself while shaving, now I can't make a call. We couldn't get much worse.
Good evening to everybody. The program is Off the Hook. Emmanuel Goldstein here with you on this Wednesday evening. Joined tonight by Mike.
Hello.
Dot Rhett.
Hello.
Rob T. Firefly.
Good evening.
And down in Philadelphia, do we have Bernie S.?
Bernie S. is in Philadelphia. Good evening.
Good evening. And I hear that we don't have Mr. Wine with
the
us.
Wine?
The wine is gone.
Nobody is whining tonight.
Not
that's
the
great.
Good wine. The good wine we still have, but this the high pitched squeal, I guess, that's gone. Okay, well that's something. That's a loss this week that I can deal with. That's man, I got to say, of holidays, I don't usually spend the holidays in the States, and now I know why. Because boy, it's depressing. There's something about it that just really gets me down. And you know, it's nice to see people and all that kind of thing, but. Am I alone in this? It just seems rather grim, and you kind of take stock of where you are and not where you want to be, and just all these things are happening that seem negative. And then all of a sudden, as if it's like to fill some sort of quota, all these people start dying. And yeah, no, it's true. And it's really sad. It's actually hit us rather hard here at the radio station. Because, well, there's a couple of examples. I'll give them right now. Some of you who may have listened over the past couple of decades might know the name Lynn Samuels. Lynn was one of the stars of BAI, I think. She was just an incredible person, and she later went on to work in conservative radio, WABC, not as a conservative, as actually the token liberal. And I remember hearing her the night that of the election between George W. Bush and Al Gore, where it was announced initially that Bush had won. And I remember listening, and she was the person saying, "Now, wait a minute, this isn't over yet. There's something wrong here." And I was listening in my car as I think we were on Tuesdays at that time. And we had been on that night, and I was driving home, and I'm hearing this voice of hope that, hey, maybe it's not 8 long years of George W. Bush coming up and, you know, an Iraq war and all kinds of other things that will be happening as a result. Maybe we're going to go in a different path. Obviously, that didn't work out, but it was the start of an interesting period of time anyway. On Christmas Eve, Lynn Samuels died, passed away at the age of 69 at her apartment in Woodside. She had been doing a radio program on Sirius. They have a liberal channel on Sirius. I guess that's where people can just go to hear liberal talk. It seems kind of strange to just divide things up. I like to have, you know, a surprise liberal in the middle of a radio station, or a surprise conservative, or things like that. But that's kind of how the audio is turning out. I'd just like to play an excerpt from a recent show, I think this is from last month, that Lynn Samuels did for Sirius. And in case you're wondering what she sounded like, who she was, if you were familiar with the voice, she had a very distinctive voice, very distinctive way of expressing herself. This is Lynn Samuels.
I don't know what's going on. I was trying to fix my phone thing that hasn't worked. This is the second weekend. And then we couldn't speak to one another. Everything was just screwed up. It's just in keeping with the zeitgeist. You know, everybody, you wake up like 7 in the morning, right? Well, that means if you're on the West Coast, you're just waking up. But I try to get up by 7 every day, although sometimes that stretches to 9. And of course, what are we used to? We're used to now you wake up at 7 a.m. and it's pitch dark. But not today. Today the sun was out. Of course, that's all going to come back to bite us in the ass, you know, by like 4 in the afternoon when it's pitch dark. So everybody's like off balance, right?
Ah, yes. The voice of Lynn Samuels. Of course, she didn't always just talk about weather. She would switch from weather to world politics, to history, to all kinds of things like that. It was just a lot of fun listening to her. You never knew where she was going to take you, and that's sort of the magic of radio. I'm reading here in this story from the Daily News how after she was let go from WABC, she, just in case people think that radio is some big glamorous business, even in commercial radio, no, it's really not. After that, she struggled to stay here in New York City, took a job in a laundromat. Yes, imagine that, Lynn Samuels working in a laundromat. And eventually went to Sirius XM and did some radio there. And real sad loss on Christmas Eve.
Now, whether you agree or disagree with what she was actually saying, just her voice alone is worth the trip. I mean, like, that's one of the most New York-y voices ever to come out of New York.
Yeah, and I remember she had a run-in with some national broadcaster who said she sounded too New York-y. And she said, "You mean too Jewish, you know, because that's what that means when you say that." And needless to say, she did not get that job, but... yeah, I think she was one of the treasures here in New York, and it's just hard to imagine something like that happening. And as if that wasn't enough, on the same exact night, we lost one of our most consistent listeners. I don't know if you remember. First of all, Lynn was a big fan of Off the Hook as well. I talked to her a number of occasions, and she listened to this program. But there was a listener who listened to every program, and he would call every program, and he would invariably take things off topic and wind up talking about internal station politics and things like that. Of course, I'm talking about Monroe. And for those of you who have not heard, yes, Monroe also passed away on Christmas Eve. What a year. What a week. And what I'd like to do here is play an excerpt from our show, which I believe is from 2005. This was when I was doing my round the world trip. And I was actually on the Trans-Siberian Express at the time. Red Hack was engineering here. And, of course, we got a phone call from Monroe. And he made an interesting suggestion. And Jim was also in the studio. Jim's not with us tonight, but Jim was in the studio. He kind of put his foot in his mouth, I think. I'm sure Mike, you'll back me up on this. But it was an interesting exchange and just a typical Monroe experience, one that I think we're going to miss here at the radio station. Let's take a listen from 2005.
All right. And good evening. You're on the air. Oh, hello.
Listen, I think it would be nice if a part of the staff of this program were made composed of women.
We'd win, too.
A young person. I mean, it's tiresome to hear the computer program and you're off the hook and you don't have any, like, staff women. And, you know, WBAI, the LSB, they have surveyed this, and then they say, we've got to do something about it. And nothing ever gets done.
Well, I'd like to make an appeal, then. If you're a young, attractive, computer-savvy woman out there.
The sound you're hearing now is the sound of me throwing things at Jim.
I don't think that you have to use the word attractive, because the beauty isn't in the eye of the intelligence. that would be purveyed by a person who another person might not care to marry.
I agree with you, too, but right, they're going to be sitting here with us.
I think, Jim...
Why am I hearing this voice in Siberia, for God's sake?
Is there anything out there about freedom of speech, Emmanuel? It's good to know you're still alive.
See, Monroe, I'm sorry. I don't see any free speech out here. Just a lot of trees.
I mean, I don't know what's going on about the world. People are censoring me. They think all I'm going to talk about is the station. But actually, I'm laboring to go through instruction books. I make a plea that people who write instruction books think about as if they didn't know anything when they write it and not... sort of know everything and don't mention what this is. I never heard of an escape button, and then all of a sudden tonight I'm finding out about an escape button.
It's very important if you're in a tight corner.
Yeah, right, the upper left corner. Right. So listen, guys, the best of everything, and, you know, please try and be diversified, you know?
All right. Thanks for
carry on. Get other callers, please.
Okay.
All right. We'll do that.
I can't believe how surreal that was hearing Monroe's voice here on the Trans-Siberian Express.
Okay.
I'm the only person that's ever happened to.
Probably.
Oh, wow, Monroe. That was something. And there was also a rarity there that Monroe was the one who hung up. We tended to let Monroe say his piece. And sometimes he actually had something relevant to say. And I think in that particular case, he certainly did. Diversify and expand and things like that. And boy, we're going to miss him as well.
I remember that call, actually. I wasn't on the show yet, of course, but in the place I was working at the time, I had the show on, and I remember cracking up at that.
Yeah, that was something. That was,
it was special.
That was a lot of fun. That was Trans-Siberian Express and taking phone calls somehow back here. You know, usually at this this time of year, I'm over in Germany and at the Chaos Communication Congress. And obviously, I'm not there. I'm here this year getting depressed in New York. It's happening. They decided to go ahead and have it without me, apparently.
You had like 5 minutes to get a ticket. You missed the window.
Well, actually, I had a token. I could have gotten a ticket any time.
How do I get a token?
You have to be an angel.
I have to die to go to the CCC Congress?
It's worth it, believe me. But no, you know, it's just, I don't like falling into ruts. I don't like doing the same thing year after year. And, for instance, I can guarantee I won't be doing this again next year.
I think you learned your lesson.
Well, you just got to diversify, as Monroe said. So I'm going to take his advice. But, so it's going on anyway out there in Berlin. And, I know, Bernie, you're a big fan of this. We're actually going to try to have a Skype connection over there. This never works, but apparently it's the only way that we can reach people. Well, apparently there are people there that maybe can talk to us. If someone can tell me what buttons to hit. That looks like Bicycle Mark on the screen there. Unfortunately, our listeners can't see him. He's sporting a nice hat there. And yeah, so this is really exciting, but it's not very good radio. Bernie, yes, go ahead. You have something to say.
Oh, I was just laughing at the thought of Bicycle Mark there remotely wearing an amusing hat. Maybe we'll get lucky tonight with the Skype connection, and we'll hear some...
You want to try getting lucky? Is Lucky there?
Feedback.
Oh, you don't mean the person Lucky. You mean... Oh, okay, I see what you mean now. It says playing voicemail greeting. Well, I guess we could hear that. So we're trying to call him on Skype, and it's going to Skype voicemail or something.
Yeah,
all right.
Well, we told him we'd speak to him in a few minutes, and so maybe he went away.
A few minutes metric or American? You see, they're over there in Germany. It's different.
Yeah, Euro minutes.
Euro minutes. Okay. Well, that's the important thing. Is there a button I should hit to try again, or can we war dial him or something?
Yeah, the button that says call. Try that one.
Button that says call. I don't see a button that says call.
It's green.
Up there. Okay.
Yeah.
I'll click that. Yeah, but what happens if he answers? What do I have to have potted up?
That I can't tell you.
All right.
You're the engineer.
Okay. And of course, if we do get him, there's no guarantee he's going to be able to hear us. It's great to have these things all worked out. Okay, we do have a lot of news to go over too, though. But anyone else have any depressing news that they want to share to get it all out of the way? No, I mean, did anybody see the Kim Jong-il funeral yesterday? That actually, you know, not to disrespect, it did cheer me up a little bit. Not the death, but just watching it live out of Pyongyang was simply amazing. Just seeing something so unusual and so different. It was there were never live pictures out of Pyongyang. Never.
Yeah, I don't think I even knew they had the facilities, the satellite ground stations or whatever.
Well, I think what happened was maybe South Korean stations picked it up and rebroadcast it. Although they did say that North Korea was providing it to the world, but they weren't telling anybody what they were going to do or when. And supposedly, it's a two-day funeral. That's how momentous this is over there. They're going to start it up again, and around midnight our time, I think, is when you can start seeing things on channels like BBC or Euronews or Al Jazeera, even CNN International will be showing this. I understand they've just gotten BBC World News on Comcast cable. So if you're a Comcast cable subscriber, yeah, you and Cablevision now get BBC World News in the United States. It's amazing how long it takes to get these things.
How nice of Comcast.
Isn't that something? No one gets Al Jazeera English yet. I get that on my Canadian dish, but we're making slow progress. Maybe one day we'll convert to the metric system too. Who knows? Now it says recording voicemail. So we're recording a voicemail to Bicycle Mark right now.
Oh, that's rude. We should hang up.
What's rude is not picking up, and we'll just fill up his voicemail, however long that takes.
How can you fill up a Skype voicemail?
I don't know. I didn't know there was a Skype voicemail before this moment. Do you want to maybe SMS or something? Because I think that works better than what we're doing here.
You know, as long as we're recording a voicemail, he most likely will not be picking up the call.
Yeah. What if we came in on call waiting, though? Is there such a thing as call waiting on Skype? I am so out of it technologically. Let's talk about some of the other things that are happening. And then if Bicycle Mark can join us, that would be great. So we were talking about the SOPA bill, Stop Online Piracy Act. Is that the proper?
Yeah. We supposedly have Bicycle Mark. I don't know how to hear him, though.
We have him. Okay. Yeah. It says, all right, well, you know, let me bring this up. If there is a Bicycle Mark online, hang on, which was it, this one here? It's one of these, I think. Okay, I hear noise. All right, Bicycle Mark, are you there? Yeah, I hear noise.
Can he hear us?
Check.
Oh, okay, well, that's Bicycle Mark, but apparently the same old problem. He can't hear us. All right, maybe you can text him to just give a summation or something like that, since apparently we haven't yet mastered this.
We have another route to reach him. We'll try that.
Another route to reach him. Okay, yeah. All right. Well, hopefully it will... We'll play out before the hour is up. So anyway, Stop Online Piracy Act, that has not gone away. As we've been reporting, time was bought. We were sort of bemoaning the fact that not enough people knew about it. It was about to come to a vote and possibly become law. It was something that really would have screwed up the internet something fierce, where the United States would have all this power somehow to basically take over domains and prevent them from being reached. And apparently this has gotten a lot bigger, a lot more interesting, because one of the big registrars, specifically GoDaddy, apparently had supported SOPA. They had supported this legislation, and word got out that they supported it. And then they decided to change their minds and not support it anymore. But that sort of worked against them, because they I don't know, maybe it was something in the way they did it, but it basically led to a campaign for people to switch away from GoDaddy if they had a particular domain with that registrar. And in the last few days, I think something like 40,000 domains have been transferred away from GoDaddy.
Oh yeah, you know, just the second that I even heard that they were supportive, that didn't matter if they decided to change their opinion. It's already too late. I will never use them, and anyone I ever speak to who's thinking of a domain to use, the word of mouth they get from me will be use XYZ, don't use GoDaddy.
Okay, but here's the thing. There's this other company called Namecheap. Their arch rival called Namecheap.
Arch rival.
Yeah, they've been pushing to get people to switch to them. I imagine Namecheap has been public with their stance on SOPA. They're probably saying that they're against SOPA. But how about all the other registrars that haven't taken part in this? Do we know where they stand? Is it just GoDaddy that's being targeted here, or are they the only ones that supported SOPA?
We could try sending out a form letter to a whole batch of them and see, you know.
Uh-huh.
See what sticks, see if we get any responses.
We can also, we have a lot of listeners who probably use a lot of registrars. So if you use a web host or a domain registrar, and you don't know where they stand on SOPA and you're interested in knowing, send them an email or get in touch with them and find out. And then let us know.
Uh-huh. Sure. Yeah. Mike, why do you think everybody is picking on GoDaddy here? What's unique about this?
They're one of the few internet companies to publicly come out and be on the official list of supporters of the SOPA bill, which I didn't even know bills had official list of supporters, but this one does.
When did this become known, though? Because it seems to have only become known recently, and SOPA has been talked about for, well, a number of weeks at least.
Yes, it was fairly recently that this list came out. I don't know when it was compiled. The whole thing's a bit of a mystery, but what's really been interesting to watch has been GoDaddy's response, where they said they issued this blog post saying, "Oh no, people are leaving us. We're against SOPA now," but they have not withdrawn their name from the list of supporters. They have not started using their lobbying resources to oppose the bill. They're just trying to like cover up the PR mess without actually doing any good.
What
in the world
can GoDaddy do at this stage to save their business?
Change their
well,
name.
From me, I mean,
good one. But other than
I mean,
that,
there's all kinds of reasons not to do business with them in the first place. They're incredibly sexist advertising. Their founder goes and shoots elephants, and their product is just terrible. But beyond
you
all that,
you can't really control what the founder does in his spare time. As you know, some founders shoot people, some shoot elephants. But okay, you know, point taken.
They're one of
sexist advertising.
Yeah, just go on their website and you'll see it.
All right.
And their product is one of the few that is sort of intentionally designed to be hard to use in the hopes that it will cost you more money.
Like how?
They add things to your shopping cart
that
you
don't
want.
Oh, you're trying to check out all these little things, but you have to keep going to proceed to checkout, and it takes forever.
Right, and this is on purpose because they think you'll mess up and buy something you don't want.
But they can't be the only ones doing that.
No,
but the market is sufficiently competitive that you can choose someone who doesn't. And I recommend that you make that choice.
It just seems that this Namecheap, I never heard of before, they're sort of riding on the coattails of this and trying to get everybody to go to them. But are they necessarily the best choice?
I've not used their service. People on the internet say it's nice, but who knows?
The thing about GoDaddy is they're sort of the ubiquitous, they're one of the big guys. They're sort of this ubiquitous Walmart type of organization. I mean, they have TV commercials on during daytime television for a domain registrar, which is, of course, still a bit unusual.
That must confuse people watching soap operas.
Yeah, and they're sort of the big ones with bad service and, you know, obnoxious advertising and stuff, but people know about them. So they have comparatively loud voice as far as domain registrars
go. But then you have something like Network Solutions, which used to be the default, and they're much more expensive. And I don't think they're the good guys, are they, as far as going against SOPA and things like that, are they? Yet I don't see them being targeted.
They are not on this list. There's a list of a few hundred companies which have signed a letter saying, "Hey, Congress, we support SOPA."
Why would they support SOPA, though? How is it good for them?
More domain registration fights means more business for them, I guess. I don't know. Maybe they're just dumb. I have no idea why they supported it.
Yeah. Interesting. All right. Well, I guess what lesson can be learned here for other businesses out there that might be deciding how to deal with controversial issues?
At least occasionally censorship is a bad business model.
Mm-hmm. All right. I guess that's something to... And if you find yourself on the wrong side, what's the best way to deal with it?
Get on the right side.
But they claim they did that, but apparently not enough.
No, they claim do more than issue a press release. Write to the people you sent your original letter to, telling them you've withdrawn your support. You spend money on lobbyists to undo the damage that you've done. There's all kinds of things they could do, none of which they have done.
Okay.
Well, everything that Mike says is very good. There's the issue of simply trust. Once you've seen them step on the wrong side of whatever line it is you're looking at, it's hard to say, you know, that I trust them now. We didn't even know about this. They didn't tell anyone.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and there's also the very easy step of just voting with your wallet. If you don't like what a company's doing, don't do business with them. And with something like a domain registration, you could be onto another registrar within a few clicks. And, it'll cost you a little bit of money. There were some GoDaddy customers that had thousands upon thousands of domains, and some really high-profile ones. Wikipedia, I think, was discussing getting rid of GoDaddy. And, that organization is, I think, pondering that. And, of course, they're one of the biggest websites in the world.
Now, this is interesting, though, because, like I said, a few weeks ago, it seemed like not enough people were talking about it. Now, all of a sudden, it's become a huge story. And this is the lead that GoDaddy is suffering as a result. But people are at least talking about SOPA. I think it's going to be a lot harder to pass this act now, isn't it?
Yeah, but GoDaddy is just one example of it. But it's very easy on the internet to choose who you do business with. And once you've researched them and found out that maybe they don't agree with you on certain points, maybe they do. But you can sort of do your homework before you get into a business relationship with someone.
Mm-hmm.
It's not that difficult.
Right. My sense about the whole SOPA thing since this reprieve or the stretch of time where whatever it is they're going to do before they go back to talking about the bill is that it seems like the campaigns have actually cooled down a little bit. I'm actually a little worried that a number of people might actually think maybe this means that we're safe from the bill now or something.
Yeah, I don't think we're going to fall into that. I hope not.
We won't, but you know,
if this backlash is any indication, the backlash, if it actually gets passed, I think will be phenomenal. Not quite sure what people will do, but it seems pretty clear that there's a lot of opposition to this.
Well, people need to pay a lot of attention because when certain groups of people are very focused on getting something passed, they'll possibly try to repackage it in another bill.
Oh, they always will, of course.
You know, so people just simply say, okay, this bill's not get passed. It doesn't mean that the issue is necessarily over yet.
And that's where people like us and our listeners come in very handy for looking out for these things. There's so many things out there; it's very easy to get lost. But when something like this comes up the pike in months and years ahead, we have to let people know about it and warn them because, yeah, they'll try to sneak it through for sure.
Yeah, and it may seem like a hassle right now to sort of those of us who are trying to keep the word spreading and keep the truth revealed about this. It may seem like a pain to keep it going, but it's a lot easier than it would be to get it reversed if it gets signed into law,
mm-hmm.
as we all know. So, you know, keep at it.
All right. Is there an update on Bicycle Mark, Mike?
I'm going to call him on the telephone.
Come on the telephone.
We're ready.
Okay, right. Yeah. Give him a call. Call and make an overseas telephone call here and hopefully not get his voicemail. This is an actual phone call and not using Skype at all. Exciting. Bernie, any thoughts on SOPA from down in Philadelphia?
Well, registrars that really any company you do business with, whether they support things we may not be for, such as SOPA, a lot of companies just don't make a stand one way or the other publicly, and where they really spend their money secretly is another issue. I really don't think you can believe a company say publicly. You have to really do some research on where they're really, what they're really supporting or not. And frankly, GoDaddy's support of SOPA, what did that mean? Were they funding organizations that supported SOPA, or were they actually? I think they were actually very willing to comply and be part of shutting down domain names that were alleged to have violated copyright without any court orders or anything. So I just think people have to do their homework more rather than just read what somebody said. Somebody said they supported or didn't support.
Now, okay, and just for the people that might be tuning in saying, what's the big deal about SOPA? Can anybody just phrase in a very simple way why this is bad to the average internet user, whether they be here, whether they be in some other part of the world? Mike, you want to maybe grab that one? No? Okay, Dot Red?
The Great Firewall of America is what people dub it'll turn into.
What does that mean?
Well, basically, it's a reference to the Great Firewall of China, which is them locking down the internet, filtering what comes into the country, what people are allowed to see and what they're not allowed to see. And part of the way that you do this is, at least with SOPA, would be through the filtering of domains and taking down websites that supposedly have content that's infringing against copyrights or something with fairly little legal.
But don't they do that already?
They do, but not to the same extent.
Mm-hmm.
They're kind of limited because they don't have the laws set what they want to actually have put down, which is what SOPA would be for.
Yeah, the main idea of the whole thing is that the biggest strength of the internet as a medium, as a communications tool, is that there's no authority presiding over it saying you can say this, you can't say this. But once we change that, no matter what the reason for intellectual property or for any other reason, once we get rid of that main strength, the internet is just going to be television 2.0. It's going to be useless.
And how does this affect people in other countries? Do they have to live by these rules as well, or is it just in the United States?
So first of all, the U.S. wants its law to apply globally. And more importantly, the U.S. loses its moral footing, its moral suasion to be able to say to countries like China and countries in the Middle East, hey, these internet censorship bills you're passing, we would never do that in America. Well, you won't be able to say that anymore if we do that in America. And it's really quite frightening.
And as far as the global reach of this, what a lot of people also observe is that a lot of domains are, would be subject to U.S. jurisdiction, even though they are foreign websites as far as the domain's concerned. And so they could end up, losing their domain.
Imagine if other countries were doing that and we were subject to their particular rules.
A lot of people feel like this will lead to a fragmentation of the internet where you wouldn't exactly have a single clear internet anymore, but rather, you know, start dark netting out all over the place because of this.
All right, Mike, you've been running around like crazy trying to make this Bicycle Mark connection work. Did you actually get through?
I think so. Do we have you, Bicycle Mark?
Yes, hello, you've got me.
Oh, my goodness, wow. And you're on the telephone. Well, that's fine. Telephones work. So, Bicycle Mark, tell us, you're in Berlin right now.
Yes, greetings from everyone's favorite yearly event here at the 28th Chaos Communication Congress. And it's the end of day two, and it's still very much alive, even now at 1:30 in the morning. Hacker Jeopardy is going on. I just gave my talk, which was also a fun time for me anyway. And everything's going as you would hope for over here.
Well, that's great. I imagine they also had to limit the number of people going because it just got too crazy starting a couple of years ago where they actually had to say, enough, stay somewhere else and watch the Congress, don't come here. Same basic thing?
Yes. I mean, those are the conversations. You don't feel it when you walk around. I don't know if you had this feeling last year, but when you walk around, like, there's room. You can walk. You're not standing online for things, although they opened up the, I guess you can acquire one of those rockets that goes around your neck, like we had at camp this summer,
uh-huh.
And a huge line suddenly appeared going around the entire main hall, and I asked some people online, like, what are you waiting for? And they said, rockets.
Yeah, that sounds very familiar. They love lines. I don't know if they love lines, but they sure have enough of them for getting tickets and getting rockets or whatever else is being offered, but it sounds like a typical Chaos Congress over there. And how many days is it going for?
It'll be going for we've got another 2 days ahead of us. Day three is just about to begin, I guess, or day two will never end. As you know, Jeopardy, I can hear it in the room next door. So we've got two more days of talks and events. And, of course, there's the stuff besides the talks that is always going on in the hallways and down in the basement. Mitch is there. I've been with him quite a lot today, and he's got a great space, bigger than ever, plenty of room for all the people doing the different projects, and a lot of new faces doing DIY projects down there as well. So, I just passed a guy working on his drone or whatever we call the flying four propeller machines these days. So it's just, as usual, so many things going on. You brought up an issue that I know a lot of people, both who are here and outside, are concerned about, which is the size of the Congress. And, you know, as the hacking world becomes a bit, extremely popular, or at least the numbers are so high, and it is a big discussion here. I know a lot of the organizers, and they're wondering, you know, how do you go forward in a way that's sustainable, that still makes it feel friendly and nice, but yet can include as many people as possible? And it's a major headache. They don't have a complete answer, that's for sure.
Well, we've been playing around with that a little bit for our next Hope Conference in July, and having discounted tickets given out at a certain time and a limited number, and trying to use that to gauge, like, okay, how many people do we want to have, and then cut it off because it might get too crowded, might get too unpleasant. You don't want to have it. You said you could move around there, and that's, I know what the organizers there are after, so that people don't feel cramped. I mean, they had, at the camps, both the Dutch camp and the German camp, they had limits as to how many people could actually be there, because even though it's outside, you don't want to be overcrowded, and it just makes it a more unpleasant thing. This is something that increasingly conferences are dealing with.
It's also not just a matter of pleasant; it's also a safety issue. Depending on how open or closed the area is, it could actually be a fire hazard based on how many people you even have there.
Mm-hmm.
You know, there's all sorts of factors that come into it. So, you know, it is a very serious issue.
Absolutely. Any highlights over there? Talks other than your talk so far?
My highlights are always a little bit, perhaps not the fan favorites. I really enjoyed a talk I saw today on hearing aids and the bionic ear and hacking hearing aids. And it was by a hearing impaired individual who was fantastic with her. You know, she went from the very basic information about how the world of hearing aids works, the industry, getting one. I didn't even know these things. And she was especially talking about what we can do with them, how can we improve them. different people who've done sort of hacks for their hearing aids. And I've never seen anything like it before. And it really caught my attention.
Wow.
I've seen Nick Farr running around in a lab coat. There's a lot of lab coats this year. I don't really know what to make of that. I guess we're all scientists.
I would keep a close eye on that, just to make sure it doesn't get out of control.
Is this related to the space program that was announced a few months ago?
Oh, boy.
Possibly. I see a talk on the list for tomorrow, Not Your Grandfather's Moon Landing.
Mark, the rocket ship is outside the building, right? They have the CCC rocket ship traditionally?
Yes, the traditional rocket ship visible from Alexanderplatz.
If you could check underneath it just to make sure that they haven't actually installed some kind of ignition device, because, you know, there was a rumor going around they were going to do that and actually launch somebody into space from the Chaos Congress, if not this year, maybe next year. You know, if they're going to do that, at least I'd like to get some good pictures of it. So if you could just maybe do some, what?
They need to build a new rocket ship if they're going to do that. The one they have is too nice to send off into space.
It's also,
I'm afraid the materials are weak.
Yeah,
well, their budget is limited. They can't just keep building new rocket ships. This isn't NASA, you know.
It's the CCC. It's better than NASA.
All right, well, I'm not going to get involved in that turf war.
By the way, next to the rocket ship, there's actually, just when you think this place can't, you know, there's no more room to build something, they've built a temporary, or set up a temporary tent, a giant one as big as any we would see at camp, and it's the smoker's tent that has a 24-hour DJ bar and a general lounge. So we made more room, apparently, at least for smokers.
I don't know how they keep making more room in a finite building, but they do. They're always creative with space over there in many ways. Any talks you're looking forward to seeing that have not yet occurred? Mark, you there? I think we might have lost him.
Oh, no.
How could we lose him on a telephone? Bicycle Mark, are you there?
All right,
the transmission to Berlin has been cut off, apparently. Did we say something the authorities might not have liked?
Which authorities? There's so many involved.
I don't know.
You know,
but
just international calls. You know, they really haven't improved that much.
Did he call us or did we call him?
We called him.
Why don't you call him back and see if we can get him and find out if he's being interrogated by somebody. If we said something to offend the NSA, the We're German authorities, the CCC authorities, anybody out there, please accept our apologies and we won't do it again. How long does it take for the phone call to go through? Is it ringing?
It's ringing.
It's ringing. Okay. All right. You could have the ring play on the air. You know, we'd like to hear the sound. Okay. That's the ring? That's an American ring.
Yeah. It's a U.S. number.
Really? It's a U.S. number?
Yeah.
Okay. And what happens if this doesn't answer? Does it go to a voicemail or?
Yeah, it does.
Okay.
I've experienced that voicemail. It's very exciting. Yeah. I don't know.
Okay.
Yeah.
So something happened to his cell phone connection because we're calling over there and it's not going through for some reason.
So I don't know.
All right. Are we still talking to him over here on the screen?
Yeah.
Okay. So maybe you can come back over and ask him what's going on.
There's only so much running around, you know.
Yeah. All right. Let's go to this other story. We're going to take phone calls ourselves because that's a lot easier for us to do since it's a phone system that's somewhat reliable and doesn't have any kind of high-pitched squeal. See, no high-pitched squeal this week, which is a welcome relief.
So those of us in the studio can see that you turned the slider all the way up, but the people on the radio, they didn't hear anything. There's no way to know.
But you would have heard something last week if I had done the same thing because there was a high-pitched squeal. You know, people thought that high-pitched squeal wasn't making it outside the radio station. We actually had a bit of a debate about that with some staff people who said, no, you can't hear that. And, you know, only inside the studio. And I was driving in my car, and my car is not in the studio, and I was hearing this for weeks. And it took so long just to get people to agree that there was a high-pitched squeal in the first place.
Not just people, but the very engineers responsible for getting rid of the high-pitched squeal.
Everything is work, you know? You just got to keep at it. We also have this story of an anonymous Robin Hood hacking attack. Thousands of private and government organizations are examining their accounts after hacktivists linked to the anonymous collective stole credit card information from an American security firm on Christmas Eve and used it to make donations to charities. The attack targeted Stratfor. What an awful name, Stratfor. A Texas-based company which produces analysis on international security issues for international clients, including banks, oil companies, and police agencies. The very fact that they would know that. They would find a company that did that is rather interesting. It takes some research to do this. Now, as well as claiming to have donated $500,000 to charities online using the stolen data, the hackers posted parts of their haul online. The files included more than 50,000 credit card numbers, of which 10,000 were not expired, 87,000 email addresses, and 44,000 encrypted passwords, of which around half could be easily cracked. That's interesting. Major British firms such as BP, HSBC, and Tesco are named in the files. On Boxing Day, which was the 26th of December, the hackers also published a sample of what they said were emails stolen from Stratfor's servers. Not sure I agree with the word stolen here, copied or accessed, things like that. I think the files are still there. Just a small preview of the mayhem to come, said a message attached to it, one out of 2.7 million. Other messages posted said the attack on Stratfor was part of Anti-Sec, an anonymous campaign against the private security industry. The action was also dubbed Operation Robin Hood by supporters, prompting criticism from observers who said the fraudulent donations would only tie up charity staff with administration. Probably true, but again, interesting news story and interesting way to draw attention to various things.
I think that's absolutely fascinating. You steal money from someone and then give it to charity, and then I'm assuming they're going to have to ask the charity, sorry, you're not going to get that money, right? You're not taking.
Assuming they catch it, yeah, I would imagine so.
Or if it did make it to them that they're going to ask these charities to give the money back, like how exactly does that work?
Uh huh. If the charity spends it quickly, maybe that'll be hard for them to do. I don't know. Do we get a Bicycle Mark or anything? No,
I don't know what's going on.
Okay, something's going on over there in Berlin, but we heard enough to get an idea of what's happening.
Well, you see what happens is once the rocket launch starts, all radio signals cut out.
Maybe I shouldn't have said that about the rocket. Maybe that's something that was meant to be kept quiet. I'm sorry about that. Okay, we also have this other story. By the way, our phone number is 212-209-2900. Give us a call, and we'll be happy to put you on the radio, and you can tell us what's on your mind. There's this this other I guess action going on in Congress, the National Defense Authorization Act. I know very little about this, admittedly, but I'm going to read something, and maybe somebody could explain to me what it is I'm reading exactly. Congress affirms that the Department of Defense has the capability, and upon direction by the president, may conduct offensive operations in cyberspace. Well, it's kind of late for that. They've been pretty offensive in cyberspace for a while, but I think they mean it in a different way. Offensive operations in cyberspace to defend our nation, allies, and interests, subject to the policy principles and legal regimes that the department follows for kinetic capabilities, including the law of armed conflict and the war powers resolution. The House bill contained a provision that would clarify that the Secretary of Defense has the authority to conduct clandestine cyberspace activities in support of military operations pursuant to the authorization for the use of military force outside of the United States or to defend against a cyber attack on an asset of the Department of Defense. The Senate amendment contained no similar provision. The Senate recedes with an amendment. The conferees recognize that because of the evolving nature of cyber warfare, there is a lack of historical precedent for what constitutes traditional military activities in relation to cyber operations, and that it is necessary to affirm that such operations may be conducted pursuant to the same policy principles and legal regimes that pertain to kinetic capabilities. What in God's name am I talking about? Does anybody understand this?
Yeah. I think it's designed to be incomprehensible.
Well, obviously, yeah, it's government.
It's actually fairly easy to understand if you've read these kinds of documents before. They're basically trying to formalize a bit of what they've been doing more of, and just it's hard to put into. They're basically trying to flesh out what exactly military action is. They're expanding their power. They want to have the equivalent of physical war in cyberspace with the same kinds of authority and powers that the government has.
Where does this stand as far as being passed? Is it something that's imminent, something that we have to keep an eye out for, or something we don't know about?
Something we should keep an eye out for, because from what I've read recently, it doesn't look like it's going to be stopped. It looks sort of like everyone's looking at all these other bills like SOPA, and they're not paying attention to the NDAA. A lot of people are also worried about other provisions that are also being included in that bill, aside from just the cyber security aspect. And it's unfortunate that there's not much discussion happening on this bill as well.
Bernie, have you been following this at all?
A little bit. I'm concerned. I mean, I don't. It's not like countries like the U.S. and a lot of other countries haven't already probably been using offensive, what they call cyber war against other targets for quite a while, I'm sure. But it sounds like they're trying to make this outside the authority of Congress. Not that Congress has really declared war for a long time anyway, and that's prevented us from getting into lots of wars. But you know, it could start a so-called kinetic war where people actually start lobbing bombs at each other because they got their economy was attacked as a result of a major denial of service.
What is a kinetic war? This is a phrase that's somewhat new to me.
Kinetic just means, you know, some physical object thrown at you, like a bomb.
So the standard type of war, in other words.
Yes.
Where people throw heavy objects at each other, which is basically what it boils down to. So cyber attacks can lead to somebody lobbing a missile at you, in other words.
I think that, and well, the U.S. has even said that. The U.S. has said, I think, within the past year or two, that they reserve the right to lob bombs at anyone who attacks them through the Internet. So I just think this provides another vector into opening up wars when you make it formally okay to attack other countries without any oversight from Congress, not that they really do their job anyway, covertly via the Internet. I think it's asking for trouble.
All right. Well, certainly something to keep an eye on, yet another thing to keep an eye on. 212-209-2900. Let's see who's out there. And good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Speak up. Go ahead.
Hi, I think it would be great to have a cell phone that when you call it, instead of that little tone that you get, please...
You hear this? You hear all the rings in the background? That means, how many times are you calling us, Rebel? Okay. Full disclosure here. Let us know how many times you call us at the same time so that you always get on first. I just want to know. I want to be educated.
I have my cell phone and my home phone, but getting...
That's it? You don't use call waiting or three-way or anything like that to get more lines?
No, not really. But
You could.
Okay, but when
I don't want to give you ideas, but I'm just saying, two seems kind of lame.
Yeah.
I think you've used enough time, though, because we need to move on. But thanks for calling anyway. I'm sorry, what?
It's not clear that not really. That wasn't a very strong denial.
No, that's true. You know, if he had said more in that period of time, though, instead all he did was talk about how many times he's calling us. Didn't quite seem right. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yeah, hold on. Let me turn my radio down.
Okay. You know, you could do that. You could do it before you call us, too.
Wanted to say that what you guys are talking about is the heart of the matter. The heart of the matter is also the use of the authorization of the use of military force, which was the non-declared use by the president of the military for the pursuit of Al-Qaeda and its supporters. And that's a very, very tight clause. And if they're using, and you did cite it, a clandestine kinetic, which means that they could essentially do what the Israelis did to the Gaza flotilla. When they approached the flotilla, they put an electronic net on all the communications. They basically blanked them out, and they had everything, including direct satellite broadcasts. So this would enable the president to conduct offensive space-based clandestine warfare and also drones that might put EMP or EMF fields over certain areas to prohibit even journalistic output, meaning, you know, frequencies that journalists might use to get their stories out. So this is a huge, huge thing. And not only SOPA, but how it combines with, you know, control of the Internet and taking out specific Internet sites that they find offensive, like WikiLeaks, maybe. It's all together, this is a very, very important thing, and the 1031 and 1032 provision of the 1867 bill prohibit and allow for the incarceration indefinitely of U.S. citizens and possibly rendering those citizens to other places. So,
is there a particular website you could recommend to us to so our listeners can keep updated on this?
I think if you actually go to the you know, the congressional side of it and look at the 1867 bill, it's open. And by the way, the bill has been signed. So that means that the only thing that the president can do, which he has claimed he would do, is do a signing statement beyond the bill which might render certain portions of the bill moot. This is very, very contentious right now, but the bill went and passed, and it was 94 senators that passed and 6 that were against.
Wow.
So you can see that the entire Congress has been brainwashed into accepting this, and it is the single most ominous thing that would cause the Founding Fathers to turn in their identifications.
Okay, well, that's something to look forward to in 2012. We'll keep an eye on that for sure. Thanks for that call. Thanks for the information. Yeah, our listeners always come through for us. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yes, did you hear about the two Swedish fellows that were also in Sweden condemned and jailed, and they were journalists? So everything the caller just said is already happening. And also they said that the blackouts are going to keep happening because all the military planes that were used in all those movies that had to do with Tom Cruise and all these new films, the Pentagon did the editing and did the writing, and that's how they were able to use those planes. So the stories mm-hmm. are Pentagon-directed. I think you should know that.
All right. Thanks for that info. And, of course, always when Tom Cruise is involved, keep a very close eye because there's a lot more to that than meets the eye as well. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yes, I'd like to mention that when you call a cell phone...
And then you're doing it again, you see? Don't you hear that?
I'm living through.
Yeah.
Living through it.
You know, it's interesting, Rebel, it really is. But next time you call, you should talk about the actual issues, not all the phone calls you're making. Good evening, you're on Off the Hook.
Hi.
Hi. Did I just invite him to call again? I think I might have by saying next time you call. That wasn't an invitation, Rebel. Go ahead, caller, you're on the air right now. Oh, you were? Okay, well, that was your opportunity, and it's gone now. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yes.
Hi. What's on your
Excuse
mind?
Me, I can't understand how that guy gets through all the time. And this is my fifth call every time somebody was hanging up on me.
Well, no, what happens is the phone company hangs up on you because they're not generating any income because you have not connected after, say, 15 rings.
Oh.
That's what happens. It's not us hanging up on you.
All right. I currently have Verizon for internet and phone, landline.
Mm-hmm.
I'm thinking of going with Time Warner for their package, including cable, phone, but I have no idea what kind of phone Time Warner.
Well, it's a big step in anyone's life when they decide to go to voice over IP, which is what a cable modem phone would be, right? It's basically that. The quality is pretty much the same, from what I understand. I think you get cheaper prices. I think you get things like free information and free services and things like that. Some people like it better, some people don't, but you can always go back, right?
The big downside to voice over IP is you need electricity to make a phone call. So
that
if the electricity
true.
Goes out, your phone is dead.
If your electricity goes out a lot, you might want to consider getting a universal, uninterruptible power supply, that is a UPS, just to keep, the modem on.
Will it even work though? There's got to be power at the other end of it as well.
Well, I don't think the cable system is going to the cable operations are going to go out. The power there
that could the, not the whole cable system, but the local box that you talk to.
Uh huh.
Like
maybe
the box. Somewhere.
But where is that box? That box
I don't know.
In their office somewhere. I think they have a UPS.
I think they have a box between their office and you.
I think if the power outage were to go far enough that you have to worry about that, chances are you'd already have problems with the landline.
Yeah. Does this go some degree to answering your question, sir?
Yeah, it sure does. Thanks a lot.
All right. Thanks. I'm glad we were able to help. Happens now and then. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Yep. Okay. Let me put you on hold.
Yeah. Go ahead. Put me on hold, and we'll just go over here while we're on hold. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook. Speak up, please.
Yes, hi.
Hi. You know, I don't have patience for that. I'm sorry. You have to sound like we're on the same planet, at least. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hi.
Hi.
This sounds like a nice, normal call.
You
know what it really means with this Security Act is that the main thing is that they can put animal rights terrorists, supposed terrorists, and ecological terrorists in this solitary confinement, which is they've already done it. They have animal rights, you know, because the whole thing is if you inhibit one of these animal farms from making a penny, they call you a terrorist. That's what the whole thing is. That's mm-hmm. what the law is. You have to inhibit them from making money in any way, and then you are a terrorist, just like a fucking terrorist. Oh, excuse me.
Okay, and good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Okay, yes. What I was mentioning about the cell phones was that it wouldn't be nice to have, like, instead of when you call a cell phone, it has music. You know, it says, you know, to have music. Wouldn't it be nice to have your own sounds? Like, you know, like a ring from the past.
I agree. You know, I miss the days when telephones used to ring differently than they do now. Everything has the same sound when it rings. That's not right. Good evening. You're on Off the Hook.
Hello.
Speak up.
I reached you.
Yes, go ahead.
Yeah, there's a website called downsizedc.org.
Uh-huh.
It enables you to very easily write your two senators and one congressman with one step. And they have various campaigns, one of which is Hands Off the Internet, which is designed to attack bills like this. And so you just go to downsizedc.org, scroll down to the bottom of the page, and there's a link called Campaigns that takes you to /ETP area, which is Educate the Powerful. And then just look for the campaign you want. And the Hands Off the Internet campaign would be very good for opposing the SOPA, Stop Online Pirate.
Okay, what's that website one more time? Because we're out of time.
Downsize, DOWNSIZE, DC, all one word, downsizedc.org.
Okay, thanks for that information, and we'll certainly keep an eye on that as well. You can write to us, oth@2600.com. People have not been writing to us nearly as much as they used to. What's going on out there? We're not going to give you a Facebook address. We're not going to tell you to tweet us. We're going to ask for email, just like, you know, the standard type of communication, oth@2600.com.
You could send us a snail mail if you prefer.
You could do that, too. WBAI, we're Off the Hook, WBAI, 120 Wall Street, New York, New York, 10001, I believe.
Five.
Is it?
Yeah.
What was I thinking? All right. Hey, we're out of time, and we're going out with one more. This is going to be for a while because it's the end of the year. And one more song about Occupy Wall Street from the Dubstep Army. We'll see you next week. Have a good night.
Just living for money, money. Crying for money, money. Dying for money, money. The new mankind, honey, honey. Just fighting for money, money. Killing for money, money. Hating for money, money. The new mankind, honey, honey. Revolution. Bop bop bop.
Yes. It's 8 o'clock here at WBAI, New York 99.5 FM.